Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jacob is running away. He is running from his family, from his brother's rage and his father's disappointment. He is going to find his uncle, but he's not so much moving toward a new life as running away from a life that he has ruined by his deception and betrayal of his father and brother. Our reading today is near the beginning of Jacob's story, which is long and complicated. It is a moment when God enters Jacob's story with grace and mercy, a moment which sits in the background of all that will happen to Jacob until decades later he returns to his home as God has promised. When he gets to Haran, Jacob will get a taste of his own medicine when his uncle Laban tricks him into marrying not the younger daughter whom he loves, but the older daughter. He works for Laban another 7 years until he can marry Rachel as well as Leah. He works hard and he'll have a family and become wealthy and eventually return home to face his brother. But in this story, we see God coming to Jacob in a moment of hardship and vulnerability. He literally has nothing, and he must use a stone for his pillow. Jacob has a dream of angels moving up and down a stairway to heaven. In the dream, he does not go up the stairway to God. God comes to him and stands right there beside him. And God speaks to Jacob with the words of promise and blessing. This betrayer, fleeing from the one he has wronged, receives grace and mercy from God. God has a purpose, and Jacob is a part of that purpose. And so God repeats to Jacob the promises that God has offered to Abraham. I will give this land to you and your offspring. Your offspring will be as numerous as the dust of the earth and shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And your family spread across the earth will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Wow. This one who has lived by deceit and betrayal, who has put his own desire above the needs of others, God will use even him to bring blessings to the earth. But wait, there's more. God says, know that I am with you and I will keep you wherever you go. Whatever Jacob goes through in his life, and it will not be easy, he has this promise. For I will not leave you, God says, until I have done what I have promised you. These are the words we hear repeated over and over again throughout the Bible. God tells Abraham that he is with him. God tells Isaac, do not fear, for I am with you. God tells Moses, you can do this thing I ask of you because I will be with you. This is God's promise to God's people again and again. Not that God's people won't face challenges and struggles, but that God will be with them, with us, in the midst of it. The stories of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar, of Isaac and Rebekah, of Jacob, Leah, and Rachel are filled with real human moments of struggle. With deception, betrayal, violence, fear, envy, and loss. Those are a part of human life because humans are broken, even when we are trying to live as God's people. But because God is present, because God is gracious and merciful and full of steadfast love, their lives are also filled with moments of grace and blessing. Extraordinary moments and ordinary ones as well. Childless Abraham looks at the glorious night sky and believes his descendants will be as numerous as the stars. Abraham and Sarah laugh with joy at the birth of Isaac. God comes to Hagar in the desert and tells her her son will live and father nations. Isaac marries Rebekah and loves her, and she comforts him after the death of his mother. After decades apart, Jacob and Esau are reconciled, and they are both with their father when he dies. When Jacob wakes up from his dream, he is filled with awe and wonder. He says, "God is truly in this place, and I did not even know it." This moment is the heart of the story. Jacob realizes that even in the midst of his challenges, his bad behavior, his uncertain future, God is with him. In this ordinary place, in the midst of the reality of life, God comes to him. Jacob names the place Bethel, or House of God, because he meets God there in an ordinary place in the middle of nowhere. Later, Jacob will return to build an altar here. Later yet, the Ark of the Covenant will stop here. Eventually, when the kingdom is divided, the king of the northern kingdom of Israel will build a great temple here. But all of that comes later, after Jacob meets God there while fleeing from his brother. God does not come there because it is a holy place, but rather it is a holy place because that is where God meets God's people. This past week, I was at the Rocky Mountain Synod Theological Conference. Our theme for the week was finding a way. On the first evening, Bishop Gonia preached about finding our way together in the midst of this very challenging time. He talked about our desire sometimes to find a way back to what was, back to what we knew, or just to find a way out, to run away from everything, but not toward anything. But he reminded us, our God is a God who is with us on the way. And even more, our God is a God who shows us a way. We do not know the way, but God does. And God asks us to follow God's way of love and mercy, of justice and peace. God's way of hope. Then Bishop Gonia invited us to turn to one another and to share how we had experienced God that day. How in the midst of this ordinary day had God shown up for each one of us? Well, it was easy for me because I spent the whole day driving with one of the most delightful, most faithful people I know. Pastor Nicolie and I talked about ministry and parenting and offered one another support and encouragement. We marveled together at the beauty of God's creation in all the different ways that that looks between Los Alamos, New Mexico and Cheyenne, Wyoming. We shared music and we shared laughter. And in all these things, we experienced the presence and grace and love of God, proclaimed in the world around us and embodied in one another. So now I want to invite you to try that same thing. I'm not going to say today because it's pretty early in the morning, but look back on yesterday, look back on the past week, and think of a way that you have recognized or experienced God in your life. How has God come to you in the midst of your ordinary everyday experience? I invite you to write it in the chat. And if you don't want to write it to everybody, maybe just pick one person in the chat that you want to share that with. But I'd invite you to share some of those things, those places that you have seen God show up in your life. You may think of a dozen things like I did. Great. Share a few of them. Or you may have a hard time thinking of something. That's okay too. Some weeks are harder than others, and sometimes we don't see how God is showing up until later. But here's what I want to say to you. God is showing up. Even if you don't see it, even if you don't feel it, we too may say, surely God was here, here in my life, here in my home, and I didn't even know it. And we can practice seeing God in the little things in our everyday lives, just the way we practice exercising regularly or expressing gratitude or healthy eating. We can look for God and learn to recognize those times when God shows up right next to us and offers a blessing and a promise. I will be with you always. Thanks be to God. Amen.